every time I take a journey through one of these, there's a stopping place in some place in the text. Doesn't matter if it's Psalms or when we went through 1 Peter, there'll just be places that we stop and we spend time there. It's an important perspective in the journey and in the context of the whole that we're studying. And this is just one of those places. And actually, we kind of came back to it. And the reason I came back to it is because it does affect everything else that we're studying. And that's verse 4 of Psalms 34. And David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And last week, we spent some time back around this. Like I say, I backed up. Just kind of finding out that fear is a product of our own understanding and the history that we have in this life. That's where fear comes from. Fear comes from what I've experienced, what I understand. And as I said, I can't help but think of little children who just haven't had the experience or the understanding, and they're fearless in the sense, not that they're brave, just they don't know. And so they act out of innocence and curiosity. And Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a child, just an innocence and a curiosity, God, what are you doing? But David was obviously experiencing something that would draw him away from that. And he said, I called out to the Lord. Why did he call out to the Lord? Because of his enemies, right? But what did God do? He delivered me from all of my fears. God said, listen, David, I'm going to have to ask you to turn loose of your own understanding so I can deliver you from your fears, so I can lead you forward. It is impossible for God to lead me in the path of his understanding, in the path of righteousness, if I am gripped by fear, because I'm being controlled by my own understanding. Right now, I'm not, God did give us a brain. He did give us understanding. But when fear is running the show, right, fear creates activity. And fear does not cause me to draw closer to the Lord. Most of the time, fear is going to cause me to draw away, because so much of what we experience with the Lord is based on the unknown, right? Right? And isn't that when fear really starts to work? It's the unknown that unsettles me. And so what do? I go back and I begin to grab for things in my past that kind of look like this. And I go, what should I expect? What should I do? There's appropriate places for that. There are, right? When you look at something, you go, I've seen this before, right? And so here's what I did before. This didn't work. But there are times it's just unknown, and fear begins to run amok. It hijacks the plane, begins to try to run life. And David's in one of these places. And he said, I sought the Lord. And I'm saying, God, take care of these guys. And God says, well, let me deliver you from your fear first, because you will always have your understanding with you. And if I just deliver you from your enemies, then that will become the method of operation that you always look for. And you will never trust me in the presence of your enemies. And isn't that where Psalms 23 tells us he sets the table before us? It's in the presence of our enemies. But how likely am I to eat from that table if I'm already full on fear? Okay. All right. So fear is not something God uses to motivate his people. Well, I'll tell you what. Someplace in the early 20th century, the church lost sight of that. Because so much of what I heard growing up was fear motivation. God doesn't use fear to motivate his people, right? And that may be a new thought. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, man, we had watch night services on New Year's Eve. And like, I wasn't the same for a month after those things. Like, I was afraid. Like, I saw those people getting their heads cut off. Ah, it's, you know, I just, It heightened my awareness, but it didn't change my behavior. It didn't change how I lived. It just caused me to want to be maybe a little more sneaky and pray a little more often, right? So God does not use fear to motivate his people. Fear will actually motivate us away from God. And the fear we're referring to is the phobic of the unknown that seeks to assign the unknown a value based on past experience, okay? It's all about giving value to something. Fear gives value to something, right? That's what it does. It assigns value. It seeks to assign value to the unknown. And sometimes we just need to be able to step back and go, well, it's just unknown. I don't know. There's freedom in that. Well, I'll tell you what, when I'm more and more, that's one of my answers, not because somebody will ask a question. I go, I don't know. I don't need to make it up and look smart. That means I'm afraid of what you think of me. I don't know. What a great answer. What a great answer. I like that answer. When it's honest, right? Don't say you don't know if you do. Sometimes it's just a hard answer, but there's so many times that I can just go, well, I don't know. I don't have to assign a value to everything. That's usually fear kind of running in the background. And I put here, this is so interesting to me because it's so true. I just realized this as I was considering. These fears, okay, it's another reason we talk, why does God deliver us from our fears before he delivers us from our enemies? Well, because these fears do not go away by getting what I want or by experiencing my desired end. They do not go away. Actually, these fears simply grow and multiply in that setting. So if every time I prayed, if God gave me what I want, I would be such a fearful person, right? Because what would happen the first time God didn't give me what I asked for? Whew. Boy. David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. That's really God's grace. He goes, I don't want these things multiplying in your life. If I just spoon-fed you every time you whimpered, you'd be the most fearful person on the face of the earth, right? Your confidence would be in my working, not in me, right? God's character is greater than his miracles. That's why he says he honors his word even above his name, right? He goes, you can trust. If I say it, you can trust it. I'm at work in it. I didn't say I'd do it your way. I just said I'd do it. I want to say that again. These fears do not go away by getting what I want or by experiencing my desired end. The fears simply grow and multiply in that setting. Now, are there times that God answers my prayer the way I pray it? A couple. But it's not the norm. It's not the norm. Faith, my definition of faith is a confidence in God's character. That's what I need. And that's what happens when God delivers me from my fears. I go, God, well, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you. You, your character, your virtue, your holiness. I'm trusting in that. You're at work. And you're delivering from my fears. I can rest in that. I'm not trying to rest in the answer I want. I'm just resting in who you are. Now, think for a moment that so much of our journey with God is in the setting of the unknown. But God assigns this place a different value, and it is the place of unknown that brings us to trust. So fear, right, tries to assign value through my own understanding, and then of course there's going to be action involved in that, isn't there? Fear doesn't just stay content to be inside. It moves out into action. It always does. It always does. It's a motivator. It's a leavening agent. Remember that? Last couple of weeks we talked about that. It's like you put it in bread and it takes this little ball, turns it into a huge lump of dough. It always has energy. But God takes the unknown and he says, oh, I'm going to assign this a different value, not fear, but trust. but trust. This is the place that you come to know me. And Paul speaks to Timothy, very well-known passage of scripture to most people. We've heard this at some point, but out of the King James, it says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," right? God doesn't motivate us with fear. He hasn't given us fear. Fear is a product of what I know. And so can I just say for a minute that God's not against what we know, but he does tell us in 2 Corinthians that we must take every thought captive and do what? Make it obedient to Christ. It doesn't say it's a problem that we have thoughts. It's just when they're no longer obedient to Christ. So in light of this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay? So God's given us a mind, but it's a sound mind. He's given us love. I'm gonna take you to another passage in 1 John chapter 4 here in a minute, verses 18 and 19, if you want to turn there. But he's given us a spirit of power. He's given us the Holy Spirit who would lead us into all truth, right? Right? Does the Spirit of God operate according to my own understanding? Nope. Said he would take, Jesus said he'll take from what is mine and he'll make it yours. And he will lead you into all truth. In other words, there's some things that I need to walk with him to know, trust. Of love, okay, we're going to touch on that, and of sound mind. 1 John 4, 18 and 19. Look what John says. Now, John, interesting, you know, James and John, they're brothers. He's one of the sons of thunder. But he is also given the title, one who loved the Lord. And John seems to be the one who teaches and expounds more on the love of God and how it affects us than any of the other he doesn't just talk about it. It's something that's working in him. Now, Paul gives us one of the most profound passages in Corinthians on love and descriptives. But John, it just permeates everything he writes, okay? So 1 John 4, 18 says, "There is no fear in love." Now, God has given us a spirit of love, right? We just read what Paul told Timothy. So there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gives a spirit of love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, and we love. Why? Because of the character of God that was exhibited on us when he loved us first. Okay? This is why he can deliver me from my fears. He goes, "I love you. And my love will drive out the fear." Why? Because my love will bring you to a place of trust. And you can love me because I loved you first. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Right? He did away with the fear, didn't he? He did away with the fear. He goes, "Man, fear, why do you think people worship idols? It's fear-driven. Fear-driven. Why do we get so anxious when our idols begin to fail? You know, man, the Holy Spirit comes and he'll take that light and he'll start shining around your life and you go, wow, God, I never saw that I was treating this thing that way. I've come to trust it more than I trust your character in this area of my life. So God, deliver me of my fear, and then the trouble won't be so troublesome, right? And I want to trust in you with all of my heart, not just 3/4, not just 9/10, not just 99.9%, but all of my heart." And this is what David is recounting to us that he is learning in the school of affliction. That's why James can write such absurd things as rejoice when you enter trials and temptations. Like, I want to scribble that out of all my Bibles. I'm like, you didn't really write that. But he did, because he understood the trust. Oh, God, deliver me from my fears. If I can rejoice, think about this. If I can rejoice, truly rejoice, I'm not talking about making it up. I'm not talking about being weird. There is a weight to life. There is. But if I can rejoice in God's goodness in the midst of the weightiness of life, then I have been delivered from my fears. And my troubles will cease to be as troublesome. It doesn't mean that I don't feel the weight of it. It's not this euphoric good feeling that's just going to sweep over me and all of a sudden, it's really not. It's the ability to praise God while I feel the weight of this life, but I praise him anyway. And I was telling a couple of people, I was sharing with Cecil and with Cassandra, just an interesting thing that has happened over the last few weeks anyway. I wake up some mornings and just really feeling the weight of everything that's going on in life. I mean, there's just a lot going on. But yet in the midst of that, I just wanted to sing or pray. I mean, it was just, and it wasn't something I was working up. It wasn't something I told myself I had to do. It had force on the inside of me and it just came out. It just came out. I just kind of went with it. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of the passage. He said, I will be within you a well of living water, springs of living water. Springs have force. They bubble up from the ground. And this was something that went beyond me. It wasn't something I was stirring up. It wasn't something I was doing. There's times I need to stir myself up. But this was a forceful thing that down inside, and the promises that Jesus made, wells of living water. And it just began to flow out. And I said, God, I want to learn to live out of that. But I really believe that that is something that begins to happen when we begin to say, God, deliver me from my fears. I want to trust you more. I'm done asking first for what I want. That can have a place in line. It's okay. It's not wrong. I look and I go, I think this would be good. God goes, that's noble, but you're not going to get that. I think this is what's best because this is what I'm weaving together. Right? This is what brings my purpose to pass and leads us into that eternal glory where we all stand. We go, wow, can't believe the things that God did. He delivers me from all of my fears. So I put here, so it's kind of interesting. We say, you go, you might be, if you're like me, you got to connect the dots, right? I got to connect. Okay, Pastor Brent, you said God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but you're always talking about the fear of the Lord. What's that all about? Two words, same word, different principles. So I just want to, I kind of want to bring that in again because we see this so often. Don't confuse the fear David says God delivered him from with the fear of the Lord that David wants us to learn with him. In this place, the fear of the Lord, we perceive his truth. Okay? I want to consider the fear of the Lord. I want to consider the term. Same word. It's kind of like if you spell L-E-A-D. Okay? What word did I just say? Spell. Or lead, right? All right? There's words like that in the English language. It's the same thing, but it's a different thing. This is the same thing. It's the fear of the Lord and the fear of assigning value to the unknown are two different things. So in the place of the fear of the Lord, we perceive his truth, okay? We perceive his truth and who he is, which by itself would cause us to dread for our existence because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Right? It's in that place that I understand who he is and who I am. And there is a disparity between the two. Okay? So in the fear of the Lord, we perceive his truth, the truth of who he is. But in that moment, we also perceive his mercy, which is as powerful as his truth. And in that place, we experience awe. I see the truth of who he is, yet I see his mercy towards me, and I'm just awestruck. Because the mercy has the weight and the force of the truth. Psalms 89, I think it's verse 12, it says, mercy and truth meet together. It's that place of the fear of the Lord, and it's a place of awe. It's a place where I understand, as Isaiah said, I am a person undone. He says, I'm a man undone. I'm undone. He's standing before the Lord. I'm a person of unclean lips. He realizes who he is, yet he experiences the mercy of God in that place, and he just stands in, and he lives to tell about it, right? It's just an, God, I can't believe that you would do those things for a person like me, right? It's not a, it's just, when you stand in the light, you see what's dark. And you go, oh God, I didn't know. And he goes, I know. And my mercies and my compassions fail not, right? And so it's not a place where I have to stand. Because it's not a place of unknown. The fear of the Lord is really a place of revealing, right? It's a place of eye-opening. It's not a place of unknown. It's not a place where I have to assign values to things and try to figure out how to get out of it, because what I understand in that moment is there is no way out of it. And if it weren't for the mercy, I'd be a potato chip, right? Crispy fry. God, the fear of the Lord. I love the fear of the Lord. So David invites us to this. He invites us to this. The fear of the Lord and this principle caused me to draw closer to God and to know him intimately. The fear that David's delivered from drives him away from God. The fear of the Lord draws us closer to God, draws us into a place of knowing him intimately. The fear we produce according to our own understanding will drive us out of the schooling that God has in his refuge. The fear of the Lord will produce delight in what we are being taught in the refuge offered by God. So, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've just recognized you feel the weight come, right? You feel the weight come. And I go, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to start scrambling? Am I going to start trying to fix things? Am I going to try to figure this out? All right, wait a minute. I'm going to stand in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to stand between the tensions of fight or flight. God, I'm waiting on you. What should I do? This looks like a place I need to take refuge. Oop, trouble ahead. I need to take refuge. Okay, so now I'm going to take refuge. But God has changed my thinking about refuge, because it's not just a place to hide until the storm passes over. That's kind of how I thought of it. Oh, this is, I'm going to go hide, and God's going to make all of this go away, and I'll come out, and the sun will be shining, and it'll be better. And God says, no, no, no. Come to school with me. Come here. My refuge is a place of learning. And so as I step into this refuge, I go, God, what do you want me to know here? What do you want me to know of you here? I want to stand in awe of who you are, because you said that those who fear you, you would make them to know your covenant of mercies. That's what you said. That's what you said in Psalms 25. God, I want to know your covenant of mercy. So God, I know I'm still in the presence of my enemies. I can still feel this, but what do you want me to know about you here? Teach me and deliver me from all of my fears. Now, don't just teach me. I don't just want head knowledge. I want practical things I can practice, right? Don't go to church to learn more. Go to church to go, how can I practice what I've learned? Especially when you leave. If we never learned another thing, we could spend the rest of our lives practicing what we've learned. Practicing, just being in the practice. Knowledge without application is dead. Right? That's what James said. Knowledge without application is dead. Faith, your so-called faith of God without practical application is worthless. He says, you show me what you believe by what you say, but I'll show you what I believe by what I live. In other words, he said, the application of what I believe is as important as knowing it. Because it's where knowledge turns into wisdom, is in the application. Right? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. So, the fear we produce according to our own understanding will drive us out of the schooling that God has in his refuge. The fear of the Lord will produce delight in what we're being taught in the refuge offered by God. Psalms 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And we kind of talked about, we compared this, just talking about fear being a leavening agent and that bread was something that we made. But when we enter into, right, this refuge, this place of learning, we receive the bread of heaven. And Jesus was called the bread of heaven. And in Deuteronomy, we're told we're not supposed to live by bread alone, by the things that we can produce, but by every word which proceeds out of the word mouth of God. And in Psalms 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, taste the bread of heaven. How much better is it than the leavened bread of fear? How blessed is the one who remains in the refuge to know the fear of the Lord. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and drink deeply of the Lord, for he is good. How blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. We've invested a good deal of time looking into this again, because it's my belief that we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he moves to deliver us from our fears. He already knows the principles. It's hard to move somebody who's afraid. I mean, if you have ever seen the movie where the hero, you know, leaps from the cliff to the helicopter or wherever, and he's calling out to the person on the cliff, take my hand! I can't! It's hard to move somebody who's afraid. Fear grips us. It controls us. And God said, listen, I need somebody I can lead. How hard is it to lead a fearful person? Hey, I need you to come with me on that trail. Oh, no. No, no. I was on a trail that looked like that one time. Yeah. And not saying that the experience wasn't real, but there is just times that God says, I need you to go this way. I mean, just think about the places in your own life in the past. This isn't a guilt trip. This is just a consideration, because we will probably struggle in areas that we struggle in, right? But places that you go, you know, I think God might have been trying to move me in this area at one time, but fear kept me from moving. I leaned on my own understanding, and I gave God all the reasons that I couldn't do that. And then I stayed where I was, and right? And nothing happened, so I must have been right. Well, maybe nothing happened, but maybe I missed out on the best that he had for me in that moment too. And that's the thing about not walking with God. God isn't out to just get us under the thumb and squash us. He's always trying to lead us into his life. And when I bypass his life, I don't even know what I walked around. It's that's my greatest concern in not walking with God. I've gone, God, what have I missed in my journey? Because you have established good for me and I took a bypass around it. There's no going back. But the funny thing is, I didn't even know I missed it. And so what do? I add that to the database of my own understanding and I go, well, it must have been okay. Nothing bad happened. As if God motivates us with bad things. Another, just a little bit of my past coming out. Okay. We need to cooperate with him as he is moving in our lives to deliver us from our fears. If we are resistant to his leading and teaching, then what we consider next in this psalm is almost impossible. So I'm just saying we've spent time because this concept and this principle affects everything else we're learning. And the thing that we're about to learn, which I'm not going to go into today because we're just not going to get to it. I want to spend the whole time and really, it is very interesting what David says next as we're learning together in the school of affliction. And it has to do with being delivered from our fears, because if the Spirit of God can't deliver us from our fears, we're going to struggle with the next thing. Because it takes trust. John 15:5. And I put here, and I just want to say this, because again, these are things that go through my head, so I know they've got to go through other people's heads. Although if you talk to my wife, she'd say, no, you're pretty unique in how you think. If we are resisting or resistant to his leading and teaching, then what we consider next is near impossible. Now, when I said that, a little voice, there's always the one in the crowd that says, well, nothing is impossible with God, which is true. However, when I resist God in the first step, he will not abandon his process and move me on to the second. See, God chose to do it this way. So, for me to resist at the first, it is impossible for me to get to the second. Why? Because that's what God said. Right? He said, I earnestly wait for you. I long to be gracious to you. Isn't it amazing that the character of patience that God wants to impart in us is practiced on us? God is patient. He's kind. He's gentle. Long-suffering. And he says, I want to deliver you from your fears. There are places in my life that I get stuck because I really value my own understanding there. But if I really stop and consider what happens when I lean on that, I see fear. Because if I do it different, I've gotten burned here. I've gotten hurt here. I've experienced loss here. And so I've found that this is how I protect myself. I'm never going to let that happen again. Do you know that anytime you say that in your life, I will never let this happen here again, you have become God in that area of your life. And it's not that God wants you to be hurt, but you have just said, I will not relinquish to anyone or anything this area of my life. I will never allow that to happen. I will always protect this. And God says, oh, you've got to let me deliver you from your fear in that area. You've got to let me be Lord of that area of your life. I'm not an abusive father. I won't take you into harm and intentionally hurt you. I don't lead my children that way. I don't motivate my children that way. I know you've been hurt there, but I also know you need healing there. And the only way the healing balm can come is when you let me deliver you from your fears. Now, let me tell you something. When you experience an area like this in your life, this is not a place to process alone. You need other people in your life that you can trust, that are hearing from God as well, that can encourage you as you begin to walk and to relinquish the death grip of fear on this understanding that you have, and you go, I know I need healing, and I'm asking God, because it's a process. It's a process, okay? It's okay to be in the process. I'm just telling you, when we have those areas in our life and we say, I'll never let this will never happen to me again. I've just taken over control according to my own understanding. What gives the strength to that? Fear. Fear. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. A great prayer in that. One is just, God, forgive me for excluding you from this area of my life. It wasn't my intent, but the reality is that's what I've done. God, will you help me begin a healing process? And two, God, will you help me find the right people to journey with in this? Because this is not an alone thing. And yes, you are involved, but you have made me a part of a flock and a community. And in that, there's life. And you will give wisdom. You know, God speaks through other people. Do you know where I have the hardest time swallowing that pill? When my wife talks to me. There's just times I walk away and I go, all right, maybe God's saying something. Go away and think about that for a while. I need people in my life. I look around, I look at the people in this congregation, I look at people that God has brought into my life in various areas, and I go, God, I'm not just here for them, but I need them because I know you've placed things in their lives that affect me, and that is something you need to know. This is off subject, but when you're in community in a church, this is not about you. This is about you hold a part in the harmony, and as much as you might need something here, there's a part that you have here, and only you can give it. And you don't know the life that your presence brings into other people's lives, and you may never know. And sometimes that's a place where we just got to trust God. We just got to trust God, and we go, God, what are you doing with this presence? God, this is why I'm seeking you and allowing you. And I'm asking you to deliver me from my fears, because when I'm gripped by fear, I don't tend to participate in the harmony of the body of Christ, or I give little to it because I'm consumed in another place. And God, I don't want it to be that way. I want to fulfill your purpose, and I want to be a part of that, that you're weaving together. And to see your kingdom come and your will be done, because I understand with those in Hebrews 11 who are the heroes of faith that I'm looking for a city and a builder whose maker is God, and that I am not complete in of myself and my time. That said, that those in that chapter that were listed, many of them died without receiving the promises, but they understood that without us, they were not complete. Well, I think that's only an understanding we can come to when we're allowing God to deliver us from all our fears, because most of the time when we do something, it's to get to an end. It said these people, they lived knowing their end wasn't here. They were looking for another. Anyway, I could just keep going. I could just keep going. I'm not going to, though. Not one amen. Okay. You don't have to be afraid to speak up here. Amen. Father, we thank you. God, you are so gracious and so merciful. God, we just want to stand in awe of who you are. We would like eyes that really see and ears that really hear and a heart that really understands, not for the sake of being smart, but for the sake of application. God, we want to apply your word. We want to be doers of your word, not just hearers of your word. So deceiving ourselves, God, we want to live this. We want to see your word be alive when our feet hit the ground outside of this church. We want to see you move in our communities. We want to see you move in our job places. We want to see you move in the difficult situations of our life, not just eliminating them, but delivering us from our fear so that we can walk with you, heads up, following you, delighting in the paths that you lead us in. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, and your love drives out fear. And God, we can respond to your love because you loved us first. I just ask that you would cover each one. Spirit of Christ, would you show us in our lives where we can respond to you in this? And God, even that will cause a twinge of fear in some places because we go, what does this mean? This area I've held so tightly to for so long. God, are you asking me? I thought this was okay. And God says, I have so much more for you. Let me deliver you from your fear. God, I pray that you would lead us in the process one step at a time. But God, would you enlarge our steps under us? Would you make our footing sure? Would our confidence in your character increase each day as we practice with you, as we learn from you? Spirit of Christ, we give you permission to teach us. This is the reason Jesus said you came, is to be with us and to be in us and to lead us. And we just reach for that. We reach for that. Would you saturate us again with your presence and your power and your soundness and your love? Would you take those things that were Jesus? Would you make them ours? The one who came and lived and was tempted and tried in every way as we are, yet without sin. Would you help us to walk in his steps? He left us an example. And not only would you deliver us from our fears, but God, we also know that there are lies. And you said, the truth you know will set you free. Would you set us free from the power of the lie? God, maybe we don't even know it's a lie, but it's a lie that was sown and it's been buried and it operates and it empowers fear. But you are the truth and the way and the life. Would you be that amplified in our lives this week as we go out and we encounter a world gripped with fear in the power of its own understanding. And God, would we stand as lights and shining stars in a dark place, and would hope pour from us that others would taste and see that you are good. God, would you comfort us? Would you revive us? Would you restore our souls? Would you bring us back? We thank you for all of these things. We know that you hear us. And God, we love you because we know you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, we can be sure that we have the petitions that we make of you. Thank you for all these things. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.